Wow, what an honor to be here. Thank you so much, Pastor Luke, and thank you for allowing us to be here. It's such an honor for Lily, my wife. I wonder if you want to just stand and say hi. I love being married. We've been married for 44 years. I go in on our 45th. But anyway, it's been good. It's such an honor to be here with you. Thank you. And you know, I appreciate, as you prayed, just this recognition that we're all under authority. You know, we are. I am. And I too am under authority. We walk under authority. We live in a realm of God is the authority, and all authorities that are in place are put there by God. And then we have there's a battle going on, friends. I'm from, as Pastor Luke just shared, I'm from Indiana, and there's a battle going on there. We at Grider have been going through things, but God is leading us. And we're trusting the Lord on this journey. There's things I see clearer now than I did even maybe 5 years ago, but that's just the way it is. But I do recognize this. The battle is never flesh and blood. It's principalities and powers of darkness and the enemy. And sometimes we get those mixed up. And sometimes we as people, flesh and blood, start agreeing with some of those principalities, and we always run into trouble because the enemy always steals, he will kill, and destroy. But anyway, what a blessing. It's such an honor to be here. I give you greetings in the name of the Lord. It was amazing supper this evening, and just to watch the men and look at the meat and even taste a little bite of lobster. I should probably say it because I'm guessing not everybody got a bite of lobster. But, it was amazing. And thank you. And I'm not sure I would ask you, your former pastor here, and he continues to minister, Dave Meyer, I was asking him how long ago it was, and according to my records, I think it was 2006 that at least I had one of the first messages that I had ever preached here, so that was 16 years ago, and there was something that I remember about the installation that I was just reflecting on that. Of being one of the overseers, part of an overseer team. And at that time, then Floyd Helmuth joined a little bit later, and Lauren Miller. But I remember that first one. I think I was the only one there for just a little short season as they were filling the other slots. And I believe there was a brother in the Lord named Keith Yoder. And he was with a ministry that was walking in. But I remember him saying something that I thought about. Because as I came here, again, I sensed it. That he said, you know, he said, I sensed something shifting here in the ministry of New Covenant Mennonite Fellowship. But he said, God is leading us into still waters. Still waters. And whatever had transpired, there was something shifting, even in a spirit realm that was bringing you into a role of still waters. Now, that doesn't mean there's not battles, but God is our shepherd. He leads us into green pastures, but into still waters. And I just want to affirm that in you. And so, if something's not in alignment with that, we have the ability to take it to the cross and ask God what he wants to give us instead of whatever is turbulent or whatever is not in alignment with his word or with where he has us. Because God is so faithful in that. Well, this at Grider right now, we're preaching through Galatians. So you're going to get just a little portion of Galatians tonight. Tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll be talking about embracing the fire. And that will be we'll hear the Lord there, but tonight I would like us to think about how much you matter and how God chose you as his child. He knows you. He knows your name. He knows your middle name. He He knows everything about you. And it's not with condemnation. He is a loving Father. And He loves you. You are chosen. You're very precious to God. That's just the truth. He chose you to be His son and daughter. And I like what it said in Daniel. Remember when Daniel was praying in Daniel chapter 9? And Daniel said, he was crying out to the Lord. And said, as I was praying, Gabriel, whom I had seen in the earlier vision, came swiftly to me at the time of the evening sacrifice. And he explained to me, Daniel, I've come here to give you some insight and understanding. And tonight I'm just praying that God, by His Holy Spirit, will give us some insight in whatever your journey is. That this night would be one for you, for where you're at, by His Spirit. See, this isn't a battle about food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. So I'm praying God will give you that. He said, the moment you begin to pray, and I'm really blessed, faith. A number of you have come and said, you know what, I've been praying for this weekend. And thank you. Because that's who we're looking to, is God. And so what a blessing to be together. He said, and I'm here to tell you what it was. He said, the moment you began praying, a command was given, and now I'm here to tell you what it was. Now just read out loud what the underlying sentence there is. For you are very precious to God. You are very precious to God. So listen carefully to what, so that you can understand the meaning of your vision. Now that was Daniel 9. Now we're in another chapter, another setting. Daniel's praying again. Now this is the third year in the reign of King Cyrus of Persia. Daniel was having another vision. Just then he said in verse 10, a hand touched me and lifted me, and the man said to me, Daniel, read that again, Daniel,
you are very precious.
Now I'd like you to put your own name in there, just in your heart. You can say it. Daniel, you can say Ray and Dave and all of you. You can say Luke and just all of your names. You are very precious. Because that's the truth. That's what God is saying. So listen carefully. It's almost identical words, but we're in chapter 9. So I'd like us to know this thought of being a son. We're children, sons and daughters. I think that's so beautiful. Because you're very precious to God. You're very precious to God. So listen carefully. Now, if somebody asks you tonight, they come say, do you know how much you matter to God? You matter a lot. You know, on our way out here, we were driving. Well, we had a meeting just the night before, and it went kind of late. We were with three Amish families that had just found the Lord. And they described, the one was describing for the first time that he discovered he could pray out loud. And then he said, God spoke to him. And he just was breaking down. And he said, now they find out that they're in trouble with the church kind of because of some of the things they went to a revival meeting actually, and he said, now we're it's just a matter of time. They're going to excommunicate us. The two brothers were married. The one had, I don't know, five or six children. The other one just had one. And they were sitting there, and then the third couple was a first cousin, and they had left a little time before and had already been excommunicated. And they're in a setting where they said they'll never get the band lifted. They know that. And so they were weighing the cost. One, it was affecting his business and his livelihood. And yet he said, how can I turn against what God has spoken? And all I could do, as they cried, I just felt, wow. But I wanted them to know how precious they were to God as his child. You know, God cares about us. And I know He'll never leave any one of you. He won't leave them. He won't forsake them. You know, as we were driving out here, my son, Aaron, they have six children. His oldest one, and it just made me smile, because when he's teaching his first one how to drive. And so he's, they homeschool, so he's the driver's training instructor. And so he's doing well. And I remember that time with him. And I think he's probably more gracious than I would. I would just say, you know, hey, you can do this, whatever. I mean, boom. But he's following patient. And he's teaching his daughter how to drive. And he was just telling me, he said, she had been at another location, actually had piano lessons with them at a place. And so he goes to pick her up, and he's letting her drive. So he had taken his van. And so he sits in the passenger seat. And so, of course, she's excited because she's driving. And she's just in the beginning stages of driving. And so she jumps in. And so he watches, and he's kept attentive, and she pulls the gearshift. He said, okay, she's ready. She buckles in and everything. Yep, she's ready. And she pulls him into drive and turns backwards, and she's parked. Her van is right up close to the garage door. And so she's, and it's these other people's garage door. And they have a car on the inside of that probably. And so he's all of a sudden there and says, stop. And so she just was ready to give it a little gas and let off the brake. And she wouldn't have went backwards. That was the problem. It was on D for driving. And so he said, okay, let's just start over here. She said, you see anything that you might be doing? He said, just don't let your foot off the brake. Just hold still. He said, now, just look around and see if you notice anything that maybe should be different. He said, no, she didn't notice anything. That it was off. And so he said, okay, why don't you just put it back in park? Let's just start over. She puts it back in park. And she very carefully this time, she's looking around, and she thinks, she pulls it right back into drive, just pulls it up. He said, okay. He said, now, he said, notice where your gear shift is. And he just was chuckling when he told me. He said, she she wants that worse. Now, do you know, our Father cares far more than that. And he was very gracious, and I'm sure he did well, and it made me smile. But do you know what? The Father's love, he watches out for us. He is constantly, you know, it made me think of when he told me that, you know how many times, my wife does a lot of her driving. Because I like to look at everything, and I'm usually doing, sometimes, I used to do it more than I should. I would have a lot of times the iPad in front of me, sometimes I'd be, and I'd be driving. You can do a lot of things with cruise. And I realized she's not near as peaceful about that. And so she got me out of driving. And I set up an office a lot of times. I have a briefcase, computer's out, and I'm doing the. Anyway, but there's time. I mean, I drive. It's not like I lost my license, but I just go. Not yet. No, I. Anyway, the Lord's been. But, you know, I know there's so many times God has watched out for me that I don't even know. It was, I think, a year and a half or 2 years ago. I have a little truck. It's nothing fancy. It's a 2005 Ford Explorer driver. Yeah, and I cut that wood. I was kind of proud of that. That's the only picture I could quickly stick in. So, but anyway, that little shed right there, that's our garage, kind of a garage in the backyard. But there's just a little awning, steel awning. And under that, I have stuff parked in there that's actually a little one that I use it for plow snow. But I wanted some pavers. You know, those little things that, they're similar to this, but they're just more flat and bigger. Someone else had laid our fire pit. But anyway, so I go to Lowe's, and they have pavers. I don't know if they were on sale or whatever. And so I'm just quickly measuring out, and I borrowed my brother's trailer. That's not really a big truck, and the trailer was really way too big. It was a tandem dump trailer with sides, which is a nice trailer. And so when I go to pick it up, I realize I don't have a receiver on this, and it's just a bumper hitch, and His takes a big ball, and that had a, so we had to use a big drill and quickly drill out the bumper, and so I put a big ball in there. And so I put this trailer on it. And then I get to Lowe's, and I find out that the amount of stone I ordered are on these great big pallets, two of them. And so then the guy said, well, he seemed just like a gun guy and didn't for sure know how to, and I was hoping he'd put it, you know, far enough up on the trailer that I'd have at least some weight on the truck. But he didn't. He said, I don't have the extensions, and he didn't have a way to get it on. And that was a disaster. But I'm only, you know, 15 miles, 12, 14 miles from home, and I think it's not too far. I'll just head home. So I have 2 pounds. And I noticed that my truck almost doesn't have any weight on it. It's actually looking a little light. But this thing is heavy. And so my wife is along. And we have a section of four lane panels that, and I'm trying to get out of the way of people, so I'm really giving it, because it's kind of a hill. But after I get some speed going, then there's a curve in the hill. And by that time, I might have been going, I don't know, maybe 45 or 50. But it was, all of a sudden, that thing just started doing a bad move. And it was, pretty soon the trailer was driving the truck. And I thought that maybe if I just speed up a little more, I could get out of this thing. That was not a good plan either. And this thing kept going back and forth. And pretty soon, this four-lane, I mean, all of a sudden, we were going sideways, and actually, it was amazing, because that truck and trailer, with all that whole load of stones, did a, I mean, cars were around, they were dodging me, and it was a miracle. We did a complete U-turn, and I was heading up the wrong way on the four-lane, and there was the cement abutment between the two four-lane, and my truck just raised that, and I parked there. Stones are spread out. Oh, man. I was just amazing. My heart, Lily was praying really loud. Praying along with her in agreement, but trying to hang on. And just, that thing did a full, it's tired screeching. It's amazing. The bumper didn't get tore off. The car truck didn't roll. It was just many things good. And Lily said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm gonna, we're going to drive back. I mean, we're just going the wrong way. But there were stones on the road, so I quick jump out, throw the stones off that were on there, and people had stopped because someone, then a semi driver comes along, and he looks down and he said, and obviously he was up on the hill far back, and he had seen it happen. He said, man, he said, are you all right? I said, yeah. I said, God was with me. He's shaking his head. He said, are you sure you're all right? I said, yeah. I said, yeah. Don't think we hit anything and nobody hit us. I said, God says he was with me. Finally, this guy just looks and shakes his head. He said, yeah. He said, God was with you. He said, you be careful. He drove on and went through. And we drove out the wrong way until I got to the next, because there's no way to cross right there. You know what I thought about it? I would love to see. Now in eternity, I might see how many angels were involved and where God the Father was. And he's saying, oh, man, this guy's in trouble, guys. And just like my son was watching and saying, hey, boy, think that through. Yeah, I won't do that again. Why I say that to just say, we have an amazing my God loves me. There's so many times he has shown me that. I remember times of being in distress, especially one morning, it's been years back, and I've reflected on that story before, but I still remember as a little boy, I had climbed up in the rafters trying to get a rope loose that had been hung over another brace so that the hay mow, that this big rope, the track in the middle of the hay mow. Many of you have seen them, those kinds of barns. And there was hay mows on each side. And the rope, I guess they used a ton of hay, and there's a steel track. And then there was a pulley on that, and a rope would hang. And we used to be able to swing on that Well, somebody, the last time they showed it with hay, it was kind of in the way, so they hung it over a brace way up top. And I still remember climbing up the side to get to the haymow, then climbing up the side of the haymow up to a rafter. And then walking across the rafter, thinking that if I could just, I was 5 years old, that if I could just grab hold of that rope, because I had a four-year-old sister and a three-year-old brother, so we three hadn't been in school yet. The other two were in school. And so I was going to just get that rope down. We can have a swing. And I still remember doing that. And down below was just concrete. And climbing up and taking, then I realized I couldn't reach the rope that was to the brakes. But if I thought, if I'm on that beam and I take a big jump, I can catch that rope. And that's not a good plan either. And sure enough, I did. I could do that. And I took a big jump as much and grabbed hold of the rope. But there was a big problem. I didn't weigh this much then, obviously. And I wasn't heavy enough to bring the rope through the brakes. So there I hung from the track to that little brace, and the rope was hanging down the side, and it was just, and so I hung there as a five-year-old. How long do you think a five-year-old can hang out like that? And then my sister, I still remember, and I'm starting to cry, because that's a long way. I mean, I looked down, and it's concrete. And and she said, should I get Mom? And I said, no. That'd be worse than falling. So she just watched. And I hung until my fingers finally let loose. And you know, I hadn't thought about that for years and years and years. But I remember, I mean, I just remember, I think, I told him, I guess some years later, I said, you know, I was shorter. My brothers were all about 6 foot. I never made that. I thought maybe something got jammed up there. But one morning when we were praying, God brought that. I hadn't thought about that for years. And he said, I was there. He said, I caught your head from hitting the concrete. And he said, I have this situation that I was really burdened by. Friend, I don't know what you're facing, but as a son and a daughter, God loves you. And he has the situation. If you look to him, and you notice what it said to Daniel, Daniel, you're very precious. Now listen carefully. Listen carefully to what the Lord is saying. And sometimes we need to just step back and start over. Put it back in the park and say, okay, God, what part am I missing here? Because something's not feeling well. And so when we think of this thing as being a son or a slave, you're sons and daughters of the King. And he loves you. And he has a plan for you. Just quickly going through some of Galatians here. Galatians was written because people were starting to add to the gospel. Always creates a problem. When we start adding man's plan to God's divine plan, and his arrangement of redemption. I would like this evening, we're going to close, Lord willing, with just an invitation. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you need to give something to the Lord. Maybe something needs to just be put in the park and you'd be willing to pray with somebody, that your ministers will be ready to pray for you. Maybe you haven't given your heart to the Lord and you're not even sure that you know if you're his child. Paul was speaking. And on his first missionary trip, he actually planted the churches in the area of Galatia. It wasn't just Galatia, it was numerous churches. It was part of Antioch and Lystra, and it was in that region right there in Turkey, modern-day Turkey today. Antioch, the other Antioch, where the first church was planted, was there. Jerusalem was down here with the other arrow. But Acts 13, I think it is, or 15 maybe, says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you can't be saved." And Paul, they started adding parts of the law and adding man's thoughts and ideas to the plan of salvation, and always created a problem. And friends, it doesn't matter what we add to God, if it's something that we're doing out of our human reasoning and nature and plan, it's going to create a problem. And it's best just to take a step back and say, "Father, I want to hear you. I want your kingdom." We're representing God. We're his ambassador. And so these are the churches where Paul had been preaching ministry in Derby. I caught him in Antioch. And now, this is kind of a key verse in the book of Galatians. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law." And it's simply how every one of us has come to salvation. It's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, it says, we are saved, thou shalt be saved. And these guys were starting to add works to this thing of faith. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ." Even we have believed in Jesus, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The law says that we should try harder. Sometimes we've done that. We are so bent on doing, and grace says it's already done. We're trying instead of trusting. Too many times we think it's up to us, but God says it's his. It's up to him. Mount Sinai versus Mount Calvary, and there's a big difference. Out of Mount Sinai came law. When the law was given, bondage, flesh, slavery, and death, when the actual law came down the mountain, people ended up dying. Well, because of the word of God and the law brought death. Mount Calvary, grace, freedom. We become filled with the Spirit, sons and life. It represented the two children, Ishmael and Isaac. And I'm not going to go into all these stories. I think I used more time than I anticipated right from the beginning. But I want us to know the truth of his word. Where does salvation come from? It's through Jesus Christ. And we become sons. Notice what it says. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ." Now, we are as children. We are constantly. You know the thing that saddens me? And I notice this. How many times it's easy for us as God's children. We've made a confession of faith. We confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And then we can allow, or we can come into an agreement with something that's not from God. And it will steal from us. It steals our effectiveness, steals our witness. And the enemy will use that to bring either steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. And we wonder what's going on. And you can, if we put things back in park and say, "God, I want to choose. I'm going to choose life. I'm going to choose spirit. I'm not a slave. I'm a child. They that are after the flesh, you mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit." Now, in Galatians 4, it says, "At the right time, God sent his son. We were slaves to the spiritual powers of this world." That's really where we all got free from. We got free from being slaves. We were slaves to this world, the powers of this world. But when the right time came, God sent his son to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own. And I'm going to just talk really quickly about adoption. When we become his children, we're adopted. I love adoption. We adopted two children. Two were born to us, and two were adopted. And you know, The adopted children are just as much my children as the ones that were born to us. Even when they make decisions that haven't always been good. And our daughter right now has been in that journey, but by the grace of God, she's in a place that we're rejoicing in. Because God's brought her to a different place. But he said, you're no longer a slave, but God's own child, in verse 7. And since you're his child, everything he has belongs to you. Now look at what the difference between a slave and a son. You know, you're no longer a slave, but God's child. Now the comparison is this, a slave or a son. And this is something that I can see in people. I see it, and I know that our daughter, when she, it took her a long time, and she shared that I could share about her. So I'm going to share some things about our daughter, Anna. She just had a birthday a few days ago. She turned 30. And when Anna came to us, she had been moved in, I don't know how many foster home she had been in. And she was old enough then she could already tell us some of the things that had happened. But she had been in a bad situation with a mother that had many different boyfriends. And she would constantly go to the boyfriends, whatever man came in, and she was desperately wanting a dad. And so she would try to call some of them daddy, and some of them would really rebuke her, and some of them had abused her, and she would start asking, are you my daddy? But she had so little idea of who she was and any value because nobody would claim her. Now we adopted her, the adoption went through with her when she was 11. But there had been a world of hurt that had went into her life before that. See, she needed identity and value. And as a son and as a daughter, you have that in Christ. And if we look for that in any place else other than the Lord, we're going to run up short because people let us down. Not that they want to, but they do. You know, when Anna finally came to our home, she would come into my study over and over. And she'd stand by the desk and she would say, are you my daddy? And I would always put my arm around. Yes, I'm your daddy. And you're my daughter. And I would bless her. And she'd go out. Those first weeks, there were times she would do that over and over. I mean, just many times in one day. And then it slowly would get less. And then after that somehow settled, we could be at a restaurant or we took them to a fast food or a McDonald's. She would be telling all the neighbors around her, this is my daddy, this is my mama, and this. And suddenly she was. Because she wanted an identity. She wanted to know she belonged. The problem is, she hung on some of these things out of the slave category. Somehow, they were so real to her. She was a victim. And God says, no, you're a victor. She had tons of fear. God says, I'll give you peace, faith, trust. And she had a tremendous dependency on others to make her happy. God said, listen, we know, we can know the authority he's given us as his child, as his child. She had an orphan spirit, a son walks in sonship. See, it says in Galatians 4 that he came to redeem them who were under the law that we might receive the adoption. And because of his sons, God set forth his spirit, the spirit of his son into our hearts, and we cry, Daddy, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And so James and Anna, the day came that they were adopted. They were brought into our home, and we loved them. And I just had this faith, belief that if we just love them like the others, everything's just going to be great. There won't be a problem. But you know what? There were some things there that had to be given to the Lord. And the truth is, even though I wanted everything the best I could for them, I couldn't make decisions for them. I remember weeping about that. And I just sensed the Father's heart in some holy ways, because I see how our Father gives us that freedom and weeps. He says, "Come to my child. That's going to hurt you." You haven't received the spirit of bondage to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, where we cry out, "Daddy, Father." And so the day came that they were adopted in 2005. And you know the thing that was amazing? They were sealed. He gave them a new name. In Indiana, I didn't know they did this, but they gave them new birth certificates. If you go to the Elkhart County Courthouse, you look for a birth certificate for Aaron James Rigsecker. It says instead of Babcock, but their names were. Now it says he was the child of, born in Goshen, Robert L. and Lillian J. Rigsecker. That's honest. You know, there are children. Now they actually could make a decision and become, the term I think, a legal term is emancipated. They can actually do that. In fact, when Anna got to be 16, 17, 18, she was going through a lot of pain. Every now and then she'd say that. She said, "I'm going to become emancipated. Because I don't want you to be my dad and mom." Those were painful times. We kept on loving her. And part of the difficulty was, as her mother, birth mother, had gotten out of prison and said, "You know, you don't need to be a Mennonite." That was her term. I said, "Oh, well, you don't have to be a Mennonite. We'd like you to know the Lord. You can choose if you have a Bible believing church you want to go to when you're 18. But at 18, there was one day, it wasn't even a conflict going on. She just said, "Me and my mom said I could move in with her. But then, "Mom, I'm not going to do that." She had met some guy online, and she did that. And I remember just weeping for her. I said, "Anna, we love you. You're still our daughter." And so she moved out at a place that she was comfortable. She had her own room. She had her own car. We had helped her. She had a part-time job. She was a senior at Clinton Christian School. And in the middle of the year, she moved out and went to live with her mom. Pretty soon, the car that she had had quit running, and she said, "Dad, the car broke down. I don't know what's wrong." I said, "Where is it?" "It's beside the road." So we went and towed it back. And before long, she started losing all of it. She lost. She quit school. She, of course, quit her job. And she started down the road that was full of pain. There's been so. One day, she comes back and she asks, "Dad," she said, "can I get the pillow out of my bedroom?" And I'm thinking, we went and visited her over where she was at in Elkhart. There was cooking crack going on in the kitchen. This was an apartment. That whole apartment was almost the size of her bedroom. It was, and they were laying on the floor to sleep. And she said, "I don't have a pillow. Can I have the pillow?" She came upstairs and she said, "Dad, can I have $10? We don't have food." And I remember as I gave her money, I gave her 10, I don't know what I gave her for sure, but I gave her some money, and I remember the Lord whispered in my heart. He said, "You know how many times my children come to me and ask for $10? And I have the whole kingdom, and I'm thinking, Anna, you have the house. This is yours. Everything I have is available to you." Friends, and I just remember weeping when she left. She got involved, this guy and her got married eventually, and they had three children. And her beautiful little grandchildren. They're all three in school now. The youngest is seven. here, and the oldest is 10. And now she's separated from her husband, or divorced. Neither of them remarried. And Anna was in cocaine really hard. And 2-3 months ago now, it's just the third month, she kind of was at the end of things. We picked her up and said, Anna, you have some more choices if you can make. You can keep going this road. But I said, look at what happened. She wept and she started saying, Dad, nobody has any idea what I gave up to go out on the street. And she made a decision to become part of Teen Challenge in Indianapolis. And this week, we got a call. I got communication from the director. She said, Anna has made a turn. She's becoming useful to our ministry. And she's a delight for our people. That's the first time I've ever heard anybody say that about her. And she calls us and she wrote me a letter not very long ago for my birthday. And she is telling me how grateful she is that I'm her dad. My love hasn't changed for her, but her choices are starting to change. And I'm believing that God has a plan for her that's beautiful. See, the problem is, as much as I loved her, I couldn't control her decisions, even if I wanted to. And I wanted to. But when she turned 18, she said, Dad, I can make my own decisions. I said, yes, you can. You know, our Father in heaven allows us to make our own decisions. He loves us. It doesn't change his love for you. But there's obviously reaping and sowing. And it cost her a tremendous amount. Friends, when I think of what it means to be a slave, see, she was in slavery to cocaine. Her own way, those things, victim mindset, orphan, no value, being hurt, everybody's doing her wrong. She was in bondage to that. And she's coming to understand that there is one that paid for all of that on the cross. And she's telling me now she has a life verse. She's reading it to me. She can do all things in Christ who gives her strength. He's forgiven her. He has plans for her. She's starting to see. She's starting to see. And I believe she's going to do well. But it's in Christ. And it cost. She went through a lot. She was in slavery. So what word, when you think of your own life, I don't believe you're in that kind of difficulty, but I believe that you probably are facing some things. And see, you know what she kept thinking? She didn't like the authority that she was under. And I said, Anna, you're welcome here, but I'm the authority of this household. These are the things that, and I thought, man, we probably were too lax in light of everything that she faced. It wasn't like we had a stringent list of things, but there was an authority there. I said, no, we have to do that in this house. This house has been dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So these are some things. I don't want that kind of movies playing here. Or that kind of music. So she didn't like. But you know what she learned? There's other authorities. She actually got arrested and had ended up spending a day or so in jail. See, there's authorities. We're all under authority. It's painful. We're going to run into it somewhere. So friends, either we're under the slavery and the bondage to those kinds of things, or else we say, God, I surrender and I'm
I'm your child. And he watches out for us and he loves us. And he catches our heads from cracking on the ceiling. Because he cares about you. And so if you're facing things that are not part of kingdom and life, then it might be just good to step back and say, I want to pray through that with somebody. I'd like to just surrender. You know what the biggest part was? Is the surrender. We had told Lana, we said, oh, if you're willing, if you can, you're going to have to make the choice. If you're wanting to go to Teen Challenge, we'll take you down there. We'll try to make that a special little trip as we know how. We'll round up your children. We'll spend a couple days. We'll take you to the zoo and whatever we'll do with the children. Because it's a one-year commitment. And she says, Dad, I'm going to graduate in June of 23. I don't know if she will. She says, you know, I never graduated from anything. I never finished anything, Dad. I said, I know. This one you will. I said, the honor of God still has a plan. So I would like to think of this song. You know, you are precious to God. And Romans 8 talks about how he's given us that spirit of adoption when we cry out to heaven. James, her half-brother, somehow we had him on and off as foster parents. And there was something he bonded with us. And he didn't give her his badge. He wasn't in all the homes of the nearest and all. And he's, it didn't take him long. Because Anna would say, I want to find her birth dad. And she was one day talking, and the night they might have been 13, 14. And Lily was out in the living room, and I was in the study. She heard him talking, and Anna was trying to tell James, don't you want to know who your dad is? James said, I have one dad. He's back there in the study. That's all I need. Somehow something was settled for him. It made a huge difference in his life. But for Anna, there was that woman that was still there. She was crying out for a daddy. That really, that deep need within her, that wound only could be met by the Lord. You know, you're very precious to the Lord. There's that song that I'm going to have us play. It's going to be an invitation song. Friends, tonight, I would love to have, if there's anything going on that's not in agreement with your father, or somehow something's unresting, and maybe you need to put something at the cross. I'm going to have your ministers, if they would. You know, when we have camp at home, and we're in a camp setting, when we do an invitation, we just simply, I'm going to have us bow our heads, and we're going to play this song. And if you have something you'd like to give to the Lord, then I'd like you to just get up and go to the back. And the ministers will just meet you there. They can go out and sit at one of the tables just to pray with you. Somebody will pray with you. And if there's more than what the ministers can handle, then there's elders and others that can help. But I don't want to leave this evening knowing that something's not at peace in your heart. Because you're precious to the Lord. And so I'm going to first pray, and then we're going to listen to this song. It says, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. Now notice what the words are. It says, for my mother's womb, from my mother's womb, you've chosen me. Love has called my name. You know, the scripture says who God's name is. He said, well, who he is, God is love. You know, when I think of God breathing into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, the very first thing that Adam seen as he looked in the face of the one called love was his father. And love has called your name. You know, when God created Eve, says Adam was asleep, he removes, says a rib, part of Adam, formed me when he received life. The very first face she looked into was the one called love. That's our Father. God is love. I've been born again to his family. Your blood flows through my veins. So I'd like us to pray. Just bow your heads with me. And if they would be ready in the back, and I'd like you to just play it fairly softly. And if anyone at this time during the prayer, maybe the ministers will make their way into the back. But if you know God's Spirit in your heart, then I'd like you to just slip out and go down the aisle. Just go meet one of them in the back. Their wives can be with them. And so if it's a sister, somebody will pray with you as well. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your amazing grace and your love, that you are the one called love. That we're not a slave. We're called your children for adoption. Father, may your kingdom come. Father, may your will be done here. God, if there's any person here that doesn't know for sure that they're even your child, would you just stir in their heart and call them by your Holy Spirit that they could give their life to you? But God, if one of your children are here, they're in a turmoil and some form of battle, God, would you just give them grace to lay it down at the cross? And may they have the courage just to go and pray and make a step and a declaration of faith. Father, we dedicate this to you in the name of Jesus.
You know that only is a melody. You surround me.
Something on your heart. You want to pray. One of your ministers. spirits of our life and pray. Just invite you to step out and go toward the back. If there's anybody during the rest of this song, a little bit of opportunity. Father God, I thank you for your word. And God, whatever you've done in hearts tonight, we ask for a sealing by the blood of Jesus. God, we pray that whatever the enemy would try to do to steal, harm, or destroy in any way, God, we just rebuke that and we stop that in the name of the Lord. And God, we pray a covering and a blessing on every family here, every young man and young woman, God, every father, every grandma and grandpa, and God, everyone in between, even down to the babies. God, cover each one and by the power of the blood of Jesus, by your presence. May your spirit, Father, reign. And God, as we walk this journey, we know that it's not about food and drink and all these things, but it's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so, God, may we walk in that. We pray your peace here tonight, your blessing in Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. You can all stand, and you can be excused.